The salt marshes and tidelands of the Connecticut River are recognized internationally for their significance to wildlife, in particular to migratory birds. Today, the integrity of these marsh habitats are threatened by the rapid spread of a giant aggressive grass. This week on Field Notes, naturalist Lori Sanders looks at what's being done to control this invader and restore healthy salt marsh habitat.
Ecologists call it the monster Phragmites. It's a grass, but not the kind you'd ever be inclined to cut with a lawnmower. During the growing season, a single Phragmites stem can grow 2 stories tall and produce a feathery plume loaded with hundreds of seeds. What's more, during that same season, the plant can spread by underground runners, sending up new shoots along the way, so that in just a few years, it will cover a much larger area. And all the other plants that used to live there, the salt marsh grasses and asters and sea lavender, will be gone. During the last 15 years, Judy Preston has cut her way through acres of Phragmites. She's the executive director of the Tidewater Institute, an environmental organization that works in the lower Connecticut River towns, including here in Old Saybrook.
It's tough. I mean, this is a tough material, which is part of why it's biologically, or ecologically, I should say, it has limited utility for other organisms in terms of food. You know, this is all just coarse lignins and not a lot of nutrition. And it's tough going when you get a really solid area in here. You can't even get your footing down. It's tough enough so that you can rip clothing. It's it's pretty nasty stuff.
About 15 years ago, solid stands of Phragmites had replaced so much healthy salt marsh in Connecticut that biologists at the state's Department of Environmental Protection grew concerned. The salt marshes and tidal wetlands in the lower Connecticut River provide critical habitat for all kinds of wildlife, especially migratory birds, and the rapid spread of Phragmites was having a negative impact. To try to restore these areas, Connecticut DEP launched a series of Phragmites control projects. Preston was involved in several of those early efforts, and she says after the first one, she was hooked.
We were so pleased to see that the very next year, we had a full suite of native plants that came in where the frag had been taken out. And that was very eye-opening. That really gave us a lot of hope for the prospects for doing this in other areas.
Where we are today is one of those areas. It's another restoration site where she's worked, monitoring the vegetation changes after the state came in and removed the Phragmites that had covered nearly the entire marsh. The site is now 6 years old, and it looks and feels completely different from the Phragmites stand we were just in.
You can see now that this is lovely marsh. It's diverse. You can see small patches of frag. You can see areas where there is still some of the native narrowleaf cattail. There's the tall marsh grass. And then there are pockets within that. You can see the goldenrod that's come through. And we've found in times past that the restoration works in tandem with the fact that there are often are natives that are just quietly waiting in the mud. And given the opportunity, the right exposure to sunlight, and you know the soil is still in good shape, if they can get that opportunity, then they'll take off. And that's what we're seeing. That's what we've seen here.
This salt marsh, like others where Connecticut DEP has worked, was owned largely by the state and the local land trust. So gaining access to do the work wasn't a problem. But from her knowledge of the area, Preston knew there were hundreds of acres of salt marsh covered with Phragmites that were privately owned. A single salt marsh might be owned by dozens of landowners. The state, she knew, would probably never be able to take on the time-consuming task of negotiating legal access with all those private individuals. But she realized a small group of dedicated people could. In 1997, Preston had started the Old Saybrook Land Trust, and 3 years ago, she and members of the board began reviewing property maps, looking at boundaries, and contacting every single homeowner that owned a sliver of land going out into a marsh. All told, they reached close to 300 landowners.
And then we had meetings and more meetings where we opened it up to the public to say, this is an opportunity. Come to this session. We'll have the DEP here. We'll have the land trust there. We'll explain what we have in mind. You know, it can only be successful if you sign off on this and we can do it as a community. It was a huge project.
In the end, nearly 80% of the landowners did sign on, and with that, the land trust moved forward and secured $180,000 in federal grants, which they used to hire Connecticut DEP to do the Phragmites removal. The first phase of spraying took place on 120 acres this summer. and earlier this month, the state was back out to chop and mulch the dead Phragmites stems. During the next 10 years, Preston says, the old Saybrook Land Trust expects to restore more than 150 acres of salt marsh around town.
There are many different reasons why we want to protect a marsh area. And from a stewardship perspective, I'm convinced that the only way that this happens long term is that if you engender in people the sense that, yeah, it is our marsh, it is a community's marsh, we get great benefit from it, and we take care of it. It's a generational thing.
The work of the old Saybrook Land Trust has been called by one U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service official the new frontier in conservation, and the Land Trust has received dozens of calls from other towns seeking help to complete similar projects. For Field Notes, I'm Laurie Sanders.
For more information on this project, visit the Field Notes webpage. Funding for this segment of Field Notes was made possible by the Long Island Sound Futures Fund, ensuring the future of the sound through education, habitat restoration, and wise stewardship. For more information, visit www.longislandsoundstudy.net.